question really easy. If you guys just want to say both of your names and pronounce it for the camera.
Okay. I'm Joni Sayers.
I'm Jeff Sayers.
All right. And would your title be like owners of Hemphaven Farms?
Owners, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
All right. So, first question. Yeah. Why did you guys start this business? Why did you start growing?
Wow. Well, we had a farmer friend growing corn, soybeans, and we thought that is really bad for the environment. What can we do? But we really didn't know because we weren't farmers. And then in January of 2018, we saw in the news that hemp was legal to grow again. So we thought, well, that would be great. A small farm, sustainable crop, that would be great to grow. And then we started learning about the properties that, so for pain management, anxiety, and we became super interested. So we just dove in and grew that year for the first time.
Yeah.
And so the ban, what was your reaction to it once you heard about it?
Devastated, right? I mean, it was just, had the wind knocked out of us for a minute. But our first thought was, well, we live, eat, and breathe hemp. This is our life, right? The other side of it is the consumer. We were really, or are worried about people that use any cannabinoid for mental or physical health. I mean, the list of people that trust us to ask for advice, kind of divulge what they're dealing with, and we've, you know, depression, insomnia, pain, fibromyalgia, cancer symptoms, ALS, MS, Parkinson's, dementia, yeah. I don't know, you know, it's unbelievable. So it really will affect a lot of people with anxiety too. Did I say? It will really affect so many people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I know you guys, you do, a lot of your products have THC in them, but some of them don't. How does that affect those products as well, this ban?
That's a good question because, so the, you know, as the, just in the last year, things progressed that I'd say, I don't know, 3/4 of our products have some THC, but in smaller amounts, you know. And of course, we have different recipes that we have made for, you know, people for different anxiety or sleep or whatever it might be. But I'm not sure if the next step, you know, having to reduce to these new minimums are going to mm-hmm. give us much chance to do anything with anything other than just straight CBD, you know. We'll see what.
Because one line of the new bill is 0.4 milligrams per package. So that's a 10-pack. That's like nothing right. in there. So, and really, people do much better and can take less if they have more cannabinoids. So say there's a little bit of THC or there's CBG in it. Your body can absorb it better and use it better. If there are more cannabinoids. It's called the entourage effect.
And did you have any inkling that this ban was going to come when it did? Or were you?
No.
We didn't.
I heard some inklings, but we thought, no, that won't happen. But not on this federal level, no.
And
no
we also didn't have any idea that it was something that they were going to attach to this, you know, reopening and funding the government bill. But here it is.
And I don't know if you guys go to the farmer's market and that's where you sell a lot of your product, right? Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything from customers? Have you been to the farmer's market about?
Tomorrow's our first in-person farmer's market. Mm-hmm. So we hopefully will be able to talk to people and, you know, share with them what we know so far. And actually a big part of what we do is education too. We love to educate people about what what our products can do for them. But I'll tell you, I had about three times the online orders this week than I normally do. People are panicking, I'm sure.
And you were telling me earlier that neither of you were farmers before this, and so obviously, like, made this massive move to becoming hemp farmers.
Yes.
How does that feel, knowing that this is now your life and that your livelihood,
right,
that's going to be changed?
Exactly. It's devastating. We're kind of scrambling. Should we do something else, or do we wait until January 30th when it might, you know, change?
Yeah.
It's really so fresh, I guess, right now. We're just kind of talking about a few things, but like...
Yeah. So this morning I left a message and talked with someone at Tammy Baldwin's office, and then our local representative is Melissa Radcliffe, and we left a message and talked with them, trying to find out, you know, what it is that we can do or you know, get some help with, because this dropping to the level that they proposed, it, you know, late in the night of the 11th, early morning of the 12th, when all this happened, has changed, you know, for us, like you say,
right,
kind of like trying to figure out how can we help changes. Supposedly the next funding is January 30th of 2026. So at that point, maybe they'll make some changes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And before this ban got in place, what was your plans for next year and the future, where you wanted to take Hemp Haven?
We were still planning on growing. We were actually already making adjustments for next year and getting excited about what we would do for the coming year, which varieties we were going to grow for sure. So excited about the future.
Yeah, so we upgraded to two more new greenhouses last year, and we were debating mm-hmm. whether we should do it this year, but I think everything at this point will probably be on hold for a few months.
And I know for a lot of opponents for legalized weed, they think there's with this loophole, they said that it allowed people to sell to underage people, that weed is a pathway for addiction. What are your thoughts on safety concerns surrounding legalized marijuana?
Well, that fits
if
right.
If it's legalized, you're saying. If marijuana is legalized, concerns.
Yeah,
okay.
Under the loophole, you could sell to underage people, and
yeah.
some people think it's a gateway
yeah.
for addiction. What are your response to safety?
So, we are opposed to a ban, obviously. Regulation is good, right? There should be an age restriction. There should be truth and
labeling.
Accuracy in labeling. There should be, what was one of the other things?
Well, the synthetic compounds that were made, for example, Delta 8, Delta 10, and, you know, that loophole, we were glad that was closed. We've been against Delta 8, you know, for the last, ever since they introduced it,
mm-hmm.
synthetic THCs. But I want to say that the other, you know, the fact that we would be able to, I'm not sure if it, you know, take the other loophole was the THCA, which is nothing more than how, you know, what the plant grows it as. It grows it in that form, and then it has to be decarboxylated. And so they had a loophole in there, and shops mm-hmm. were selling, you know, and still are, I guess they have for another 51 weeks of being able to sell the high THCA, which technically is decarb down to THC, you know.
So as far as like a gateway to harsher drugs, if you will, that's a myth. Actually, states that have legalized THC have seen a significant drop in opioid use and abuse and drug abuse, I guess, or like overdoses. Significant.
Yeah.
So
So kind of moving on to the end of this, there's about a 1 year waiting period before the full ban takes effect. What is your biggest hope for what happens in this next year?
Yeah. I hope that, like we said, it's not banned but regulated, so that we want it to be safe. So everyone's like, as a grower, we're regulated. The processor is regulated. So now where it's sold and who it is sold to should be regulated as well.
Do you have something else?
No, I think she covered that.
Perfect. So I guess then my second question to that would be, what happens if nothing changes, if the ban does go through? What happens to you guys in the worst case scenario?
We sell our farm? Yep. I don't know.
At this point, I'm going to go back to what I was considering myself semi-retired. I'll obviously have to take myself out of retirement to go back into building and home, you know, remodeling.
Yeah, that's, that's terrible. Do you have any plans between now and then to help to prepare for whatever you got? What are your plans?
Like I said, it's been so fast. Just kind of scrambling. We will continue to sell and continue to educate people.
Yeah, we're waiting for some responses. You know, I've like I said, I've been in touch with two of our, you know, legislators already, and we hope to be in touch with more and then find out how this whole process works. You know, we're kind of new into that, the what happens at the legislative side prior to you know, a bill getting passed or rescinded.
So one thing that would be fabulous is to be able to educate legislators. So they're making these laws, but it seems like, for example, that 0.4 milligram, it's just silly. It seems like they need to have more knowledge under their belt before they write these laws that are affecting so many people.
Yeah, and the numbers that we just saw in the last few days was that there's 320,000 jobs tied into just the hemp industry in the U.S. and $28.4 billion, you know, annually. So, you know, we're just the small piece of the pie here.
Right.
Ethan, do you have any final questions?
Nothing comes to mind. Mm-hmm. I think you guys did a good job.
Anything else that you feel like we didn't cover that you want to say?
Well, is there a truth? We were talking to a guy who owns a brewery, and they make THC infused drinks.
Yep.
Is there a truth that maybe some like bigger corporations see this as a potential income revenue stream, and they're trying to kind of get rid of the small?
Yep.
You kind of wonder about that.
We
right?
do, they're and we didn't know if we should discuss anything, you know, like on that political side or
and this
you know.
Be off the record.
No. Okay, because the first message that we got from other people was that Big Pharma came in and the tobacco and the alcohol and tobacco industry put pressure on for them to get this law into place, you know, but our industry doesn't have those kind of money and lobbyists, you know. But no, I think what you're saying is true.
The one thing that was, it's kind of like, I put it down here, opinion, because it's kind of, if this happens, the black market will grow. So that is unregulated. So I worry about the safety of products that might be out there that are unregulated.
You know, I don't know if it's related to that one question, but if Wisconsin jumped in with recreational and or medicinal, you know, do these other states have to deal with the hemp industry per se like we do here, because we're not, you know, medicinal or recreational THC? They're under a whole set of rules that our understanding is that they're not even affected by, quote, the hemp, which is anything below 0.3%. But we're anxious to talk with the right people and find out, you know, how they're going to recognize us, I guess.
Yeah. Would you guys consider moving out of state if this
no.
ban goes through?
No, we've been in Madison.
We might move out of the country.
Just to be close to our
grandkids. Is this off the road?
Yeah, it could all be off.
Okay, our daughter and her husband that we just visited in Seattle, they're moving to Spain.
Oh, wow. Ooh, cool.
Mostly because of gun violence, a little bit because of Trump, partly because they can enjoy a year with their daughter. They're just going to live very frugally, like get a little apartment. And so,
be nice if grandma and grandpa were around.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that is in the back of my head. I don't know. It's so, we just found out and we were on vacation. We just got back yesterday or Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, so I filled, like I said, so many orders in the last 2 days. It's crazy. People are, I did have a few people, you know, say like, oh no, what's going to happen or, you know, but like I said, we'll be talking to more people tomorrow. And see what their thoughts are or suggestions too. Maybe they have some ideas, but I think, you know, reaching out to legislators and trying to educate them is probably the best thing we can do right now.
Just you guys being here, I think, is great exposure for our industry, for as small as it might be in Dane County per se, but in Wisconsin in general, it's you know, substantial.
I was telling you, I saw in the Wisconsin State Journal, it was like $700 million in Wisconsin alone.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's revenue that won't be coming.
You know, and even Melissa Agard was really, she was part of the original, the hemp committee that wrote the rules. And, you know, we got asked to educate them, and we suggested, why don't you speak with some of the scientists? We're a little biased, being the farmer, you know.
Oh, this was back in 2018, right?
2019 or 2020, because it was at the first program was for 2 years, and then after that one started, they were writing what they at that time they called the Hemp 2 bill, you know. And so we got connected with them, you know, getting them in touch with some scientists to learn what she's saying about, you know, how the plant grows and how it's processed and all these things that make such a huge difference, you know, down to the end product, you know. But
that's all I got. Thank you guys both.
Yeah.